This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
That's how I get in the back, like my enunciation.
Enunciation.
The quick brown fox
jumped over the lazy dog.
Mason likes unique New York.
Unique New York.
Unique New York.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Monday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're hanging out live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Going to have a lot of fun. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate everybody who has subscribed, rated, and reviewed the show, hanging out with us on your platforms. And we're going to have a lot of fun today in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We are live just off McFarland Boulevard. You can find us past the Tiger Rock on the left. You call Derek Daniel and his team at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. So make sure you call Derek and his team. Red Reese and Victoria are upstairs today. They would be happy to take care of you. We're going to have a lot of fun today. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel or the Bama Central Facebook page, you can see I am joined, as always, on Monday by Theo Fernandez. But we're also joined by Hunter Brantley, frequenter of the voicemail machine. You can be on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7070. Did you hear that too?
I did hear something.
Okay, all right. Just checking. All right. Yeah.
You're not tripping. Now you're tripping.
All right, just checking. All right. Yeah. It sounded like a microphone went on and then off. All right, great. No, you can be on the voicemail machine, just like Hunter sometimes does, at 205-462-7340, extension 800. All right, everything sounds good. We're rocking and rolling on this morning. Hunter Brantley, also big part of WVUA Sports, was with me at Tide 100.9. Follow Hunter Brantley at Hunter Brantley 8 on the Twitter machine. Follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. Theo, real quick, good morning. How was your weekend?
My weekend was incredible. I actually spent any afternoon of it with Joe. We were watching some WWE, WrestleMania. First time ever watching the sport, was honestly kind of entertained. That, you know, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, that fight at the end of the day on Saturday, that was entertainment. And then I tuned in to watch John Cena, Cody Rhodes on Sunday, and that was not entertainment.
Womp, 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 womp.
Big L on that match. Drop the ball big time on that.
Yeah, I'm going to get really into WrestleMania tomorrow when Mason Ree returns. We're going to have the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, join us from New Era Wrestling. We're going to talk basically all about the two nights and kind of really, really interesting juxtaposition of the WrestleMania weekend. The entire card of night one was above average and good, but the finisher, the finale, was incredible. It was amazing. It was just pure cinema. And then you open night two and you have pure cinema. Open up the night two all the way to the finale. And then the finale drops the ball. So very interesting juxtaposition of the two nights that we will get into tomorrow. And maybe we'll see how this show kind of goes the rest of the day. We might circle back into WrestleMania or not. But we're also joined by Hunter Brantley, as we just mentioned. And Hunter, God, I owe you an apology. It was probably 3 weeks ago the last time you were on.
Two or 3 weeks ago.
And I didn't set the board up correctly. So you had all those great takes after Alabama got eliminated from the NCAA tournament. And it sounded like we were talking in a cave. And so it was very difficult for a lot of people to hear. I do know several people did power through and listen to it. I appreciate those who did. But Hunter, now the people can hear you clearly. The microphones are connected. Good morning. How was your weekend? And where do you want to lead us today?
My weekend was pretty good when I wasn't yelling at the TV about Alabama baseball or something of those sorts. But that's kind of what I want to get in today along those lines. Last week, the Braves, they're playing the Blue Jays, and their field reporter, he's up there in center field, and he's chatting it up with some ladies, and he's talking, and they're just shooting the breeze for the most part. He's asking them, you know, are y'all Braves fans? Are y'all Blue Jays fans? And I'm like, well, we're Blue Jays fans right now. You know, we don't really know that much about Atlanta, yada, yada, yada. And the play-by-play guy, he's in his ear talking through his IFB. He's like, all right, Wiley, you got about four innings to get their numbers. Time to go to work. And then he tells the girls, like, hey, they want me to get your number. And they're like, oh, they want you to get my number. Are you sure you don't want to get my number just on your own intuition? And they're like, no, they want me to get your number. But he's like, man, I should have thought about this like a long time ago, because this is a good tactic to, I guess, pick up women. Just carry around a FanDuel mic and just ask girls for their number and act like you're on camera and everything. But anyway, that's besides the point. So he's talking to him, and he gets their number, and then this guy just gets total backlash across the internet. I see it in the next couple of days. People are saying that's unprofessional. People are saying, imagine if he was a girl doing that, you know, he'd get fired right on the spot. And there's people just lashing out on the guy, basically just crucifying him for no reason whatsoever, because he was having fun with it. And I just want to get y'all's take on that. I don't think it's unprofessional at all. I think he's just having a good time doing his job, because at the end of the day, it is baseball. And it can be a boring sport, believe me. And you're in game 15 in freaking Toronto, Canada, and not a whole lot's happening. So I'm in the group that says, you know, it's fair game.
I am one of the many people who watched that video, thought it was funny, and that was really the end of it for me. I was entertained watching it. I think that I think a lot of the traditional rules around media are probably changing in the moment right now. You know, we're in kind of a transformative period almost. Like, for example, look at the girl from Florida.
Yeah. Right?
You all have seen her?
I've seen that, yeah. She's cheering when they won the national championship.
Cheering when they won the championship. There were people who were, like, getting, like, calling her out or, like, taking selfies with players and stuff. Yeah. Felt like a similar situation almost. I think I'm in the same boat. Anytime something like that comes up, it's fun. It entertained people.
Feel like it's fair game for anybody.
I
to be honest
agree.
With you.
I think, you know, people watch these things to be entertained. That's what it comes down to. That's my only take on that.
And the people that are getting pissed off about it, about, oh, if a woman did this, but you're basing that off an assumption instead of actual facts, because a woman's never done that. And no one has ever told a woman that you have to do that. So it's just a dude being a funny, charismatic, personal guy. And I guess people don't like that for some reason. Bunch of haters is what it seems to me.
Well, Theo, I guess I'll be the old man here. Hunter, I'll be the old man here. You're putting the girl... Okay, this is... the microphone holder, be it male or female, is putting the subject, be it male or female, in a very awkward position. Now, that subject could have, oh, sure, reporter, here's my phone number, 867-5309, right?
He did get the number, by the way.
Right, did he?
Was it a real number?
That's my thing. Thank you. You're picking up what I'm putting down. they can obviously give you a fake number, but... And I know, I barely paid attention to the Braves. You told me they're doing better. I know that it started off really bad. So, like, of course, what are we doing out here?
team reporting on the terrace. Really and truly, the reporter, the team reporter, was thrown into a terrible place, was thrown into an awful place. And for him, I believe that he was, I'm just trying to make this work. I'm on camera. I'm just trying to make this work. I'm just trying to be entertaining. And I think you're kind of at the mercy of your producers and your mercy of the people in your ear a little bit. And while you can say, I'm not going to ask this girl for a number, I'm going to ask her about
baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your favorite player?
Right. What's your favorite player? What's your favorite pitch? You know, what do you think about the game last night? Whatever the case may be. He, of course, that's what he should have done. But man, if you've never been on camera, I'm not going to sit here and like blow it up like it's a big thing. If you've never been on a microphone, I'm not going to make it seem like it's a big thing. But I do feel a little bit of pressure to, okay, be on, be presentable. And if, you know, Theo wanted to throw out a wild idea, okay, I would try to follow it just to see where it goes. Because I don't know if I'm saying this correctly or making enough sense, but I felt like the team reporter should have known better, but was also thrown into a really, really, really awkward position. Your guys on the booth, that's who's at fault. Your guys is at who?
The play-by-play guy. Yes. Fault, yeah, for sure.
You guys in the booth. Like, get her number. Man, get her number. Blah, 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 blah. Meatball. You know, like, if he didn't get her number, or let's just say the experience goes terribly. He comes back to the booth. He's like, man, why did you do that? I would be so embarrassed if I was out there field reporting and it's like, hey, that pretty girl was giving you the eye, Joe. Like, rah, rah, rah. I'd be like,
nice. Thank you.
What do you want me to do about it? Right?
Man, I get nervous trying to talk to girls at bars sometimes. How nervous was he trying to do it on camera, right?
Probably not nervous because
he didn't seem nervous at all.
I'll tell you.
I think you got to be feeling that pressure knowing what.
No.
Yeah. Knowing that you could get rejected on regional television, yeah.
Shoot. When the camera's on, when the microphones are on, this is not real Joe. This is not real life. This is fake. This is sports persona. Exactly. This is sports persona. So if you go, oh, Joe, you can go talk to her. Of course I can go talk to her. Yeah. Miss Sports Reporter Joe. Like, no. The extra camera, the camera is the, you know, it's the shield. It's like the extra bit of. Huh. You know, it's the bubble. We're in the bubble of the camera world.
It's and a platform, if you right. will.
And if we're in the bubble of the camera world and Homegirl rejects me, whatever, it's great content. Ha, 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 ha. Everybody laughs. She didn't get my number. I didn't get her number. But if she does get her, give me the number, everybody laughs as well. Like, it's not real life.
It's a win-win for everybody involved, or for you at least.
I see that. I don't know how much, like, I don't really think I put on a persona. Like,
Well, then I need you to.
You need me to.
This you, need work. To you need to be need a to totally find different
it.
Person.
You need to find it just a little. No, I'm just teasing you. And I'm just teasing everybody who's listening and watching. This is really who I am. Maybe turned up 2, 3, 4, 5 degrees.
But yeah, you got to always play it up.
All right, but I do have a problem with it, with that issue, Hunter. Obviously, the baseball is bad enough to where you're doing some gimmicks, but the people in the booth need to know better. And the producers and the people in the booth's ear, right? You got the play-by-play.
Yeah, you got play-by-play.
They need to tell
the commentator.
No. Tell them to stop. No. Tell them, give them a baseball question. Feed them a baseball question for those young ladies.
When will Vladimir Guerrero hit his first home run this year?
Right. Like you got to save him. The play-by-play and the color guys.
They threw that man out to dry.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so Hunter, do you have any actual baseball, though, you want to talk about? You want to give us a Braves update?
Braves get their first sweep this past weekend over the Twins. They're now 8-13, flying high. Looks like they're hitting their stride. It's about damn time, to be honest with you, after that pathetic start that they had. So I'm kind of excited. Still a long way to go. I think we're still 6 games behind the Phillies and Mets for first place, but a step in the right direction, and I'm kind of pleased with how the weekend went. As for Alabama,
yeah,
we should have won that series. Should have definitely won that series. Had game one in the bag. Up 5-1, and you give up 10 unanswered runs. Like, good Lord, that's suicidal just thinking
against,
about it.
Tell the people who weren't watching, this is against.
This was against LSU, Baton Rouge. It's a hard place to win at. Not going to lie. It really is a hard place to win at. But when you're up 5-1 on them guys, and it's like 6th, 7th inning, you kind of got to bring that one home if you can help it. But like I said, 10 unanswered runs. and it's 11-5 going to the ninth. It's just, like I said, it's just disappointing. Game two, kind of the same way. You go up 1-0 like you did in game one. Then you give up, I think, 4 or 5 runs in that game. But game three was way better. It was definitely the best game of the series by far. Could definitely see a lot of improvement in at-bats and then executing pitches in game three, which is what you want to see, that you did get improved as the series went on. But still just a little bit more left in the tank that you could have gotten if you win game one and end up winning just the series. But
awesome.
I'll get up.
There we go. There we go. Getting the lights out of the way. Yep, you can get up and help him out. Perfect. Right there. Oh, perfect. I think I might have knocked that over. So I want to ask you, Hunter, about the baseball team. I see a tweet over the weekend that says it feels like the wheels have fallen off this team. And I don't know because I'm barely watching. And yes, that's bad on Joe. But I was seeing early results, early positive results. It seems like we have had negative results lately. Will comes on here and talks about starting pitching. Will Miller talks about starting pitching. And then you're seeing the bullpen blow the game in the afternoon.
They're crapping the bed big
right,
time.
In what you, so put me in Rob Vaughn's shoes, please. You're Rob Vaughn for the next 5 minutes. And sell the rest of the season. Sell the rest of the season to me as why should I care? You're 9-9 in the league. You're 500 play in the toughest league in college.
31-10 overall. So which is a good spot to be in.
Right. You're still in the top 25.
To host a regional. You got Missouri.
That was my question. You still in the mix to host the regional?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. You have to sweep Missouri this weekend, though.
They're really bad.
They had won a game in conference all year long. So you have to sweep them. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Must sweep this weekend. Gotta
How
beat
likely
Stanford.
Is that?
I'd give it a 8 out of 10. Should be 10 out of 10.
I mean, and I'm asking Hunter. He's been at or watched every game this year.
Just about every game, yeah. I'd give it an 8 out of 10 likelihood that we sweep them. Should sweep them. Like I said, they're god-awful. They're terrible. You got to beat Stanford on Tuesday, I believe, at Stanford.
Right. Anything can happen in the midweek. The team's undefeated in midweeks, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, it's not the greatest metric, but it's a nice metric.
It is a nice metric. Win the games that you're supposed to win instead of, you know, vice versa. You lose the games that you're supposed to win. It's definitely not something heading in the right direction at all. But got to sweep Missouri. Then you got at Vanderbilt. Then you come back home for Georgia and you finish off at Florida. It's a very advantageous schedule along the way. Vanderbilt's not as good as they have been. Georgia's pretty good. Florida's up and down, hot and cold. But I think it's just baseball at the end of the day. You're going to go through slumps like this, especially when you're facing superior pitching like you did against State and LSU the past couple of weeks. So then you just got to weather this storm and get back to it.
So
get back to the grind this week.
Did Alabama save Chris Lemonis' job this week or last weekend with Mississippi State?
Or so, because that dude was definitely on the hot seat. And them winning that series was huge for them because they were like 5-10. Now I think they're probably 9-9, 8-10, something like that. So that was definitely a huge step in the right direction for them.
All right. So you know the Alabama fan, Hunter. You know them better than most living here in Tuscaloosa, born and raised. The Alabama fan's not going to care about this team until they can win a national championship. So how far, like, okay, I hear your ebbs and flows. I hear your, you know, growing pains of the season. Obviously, we see positive results as well. Lots of good positive results throughout the year.
There have been,
The last 2 weeks, not the last couple of weeks, not as much. But how far away? Like, Rob Vaughn, golly, Brad Bohannon had the team moving in a direction.
Then he started to gamble, got too big into the gambling scene.
I can't even talk about that because that is just the
that is brain dead,
right.
Moronic.
Right.
That is beyond moronic, honestly.
You ever see the FX show, like, or whatever, is Dumb Criminals? I think that's what it is. And so the program
Impractical Joker,
right? Memes. Takes an understandable half step back, and then Brad Bohannon comes in last year, Rob Vaughn comes in last year, and a good year, not a great year, but you still are in the postseason. And so it wasn't like a whole, like, where are we at here? I felt like Bohannon had you right on the edge.
Yeah, we were at the precipice of getting there. We made the super regional, lost to Wake Forest in his last year when we had JJ as the interim head coach. And then last year, we just, like you were talking about earlier, the wheels fell off and they actually did fall off of the car about at this time last season. And the train wreck happened and we lost miserably in the regional at Florida State. Stetson. Went 0-2. Yeah.
Terrible.
Losing to
terrible.
Stetson. Terrible, terrible.
Didn't hit weekend. For Jack that yeah. weekend.
I think William Hammeter was our best hitter, which is crazy. But he anyway,
such,
I think
he had such a fun run down yeah. the stretch last year. That was impressive.
He did. He did have a fun run. But I think
Northridge zone, right?
Northridge, yeah. That's Northridge
right.
finest.
That's right. That's right.
But I think we're starting to creep into the right direction. I think we're on the precipice of making the College World Series. Who knows? We could make it this year. Ole Miss won the whole thing 2 or 3 years ago, and they were the last team in, or one of the last teams in, when they won the national championship in 22.
Right, so but anything do you see, what do you see with this
pitching's
team?
Pitching's got to get better.
With this team.
Pitching's got to get better. It has to. You can't have some of the starts that you're having. They got to find a starting pitcher other than Riley Quick and Zane Adams, to be honest with you, whether that be Tyler Fay, who did decent against LSU. He did pretty good. I'll give him credit for that. Let's see if he can build off that against Missouri next weekend and going further into Vanderbilt and Georgia. And then you guys obviously got to have somebody other than Justin LeBron hit the baseball, which has been happening. Richie Bonomolo has been playing pretty good. Jason Torres is
that's
still
a
in
name.
A massive
say
slump.
It again.
Richie Bonomolo.
Bonomolo.
I like to call him Bonomolo.
Bonomolo.
He did on Friday night against LSU.
I like that.
But we've got guys step up. Captain Clutch, Cade Snell's still swinging a pretty hot bat right now. And I don't know. There's still a lot of season to play.
So do I need to get to the Joe slump, during some of these nice weather days?
It's a great time.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Like the team's worth watching for 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
I know.
I'd say so. I went to Tennessee, and even though we got our doors blown off and got ran out of the
gym, I just like the comfort of my living room so much.
Yeah, I get that because there's definitely a chance of getting sunburn out there. Let me tell you right now, if you don't come prepared, that sun will eat you alive.
Well, so Theo, take us to Hoover. Hoover is in the next 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, roughly SEC tournament. Does the team, do I need to, would you say the team's going to make enough noise in Hoover for me to get some tickets? That's a great event now.
I think that, because I've been thinking this too, because I would love, I've never been.
Oh, it's a great event.
Really, need to one go. Of my you, first times watching college baseball.
You need to ask Chris to credential you.
Look, growing up in New York, nobody cares about college baseball. Like, this is not on anyone's radar.
I feel
whatsoever.
Like they don't care about a lot of college athletics.
Yeah, we barely care about college football. We love
Syracuse football.
But we do not care about college baseball. So this is I'm still getting into it. I watched it last year. Now this year, with how good the team is, I've been very into it. But I think that the way I've seen us play and hang with SEC teams, even if you were going to go purely as a fan, I think there'd be enough in there for you. I think there's a very good chance we're playing enough games to justify it. You'd agree with that, right, Hunter?
I would agree with that. The only bad thing of this year is it's single elimination. So it's one and done. It's not double elimination this year.
Only they changed that?
They changed the format.
Because it was single elimination the first day.
Yeah.
And then if you got through that, then you got into double elimination play.
Yeah, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas, 16 teams, single elimination. I think they should do away with that and make it 14 teams, double elimination.
You got to qualify to come to Hoover.
Yeah.
Mizzou has no business.
If you're,
yeah, Missouri should not go there at all. Probably same thing with, I think, Kentucky. But they'd just beat Tennessee, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But there's another team I can't think of. Maybe South Carolina, who's struggling right now, who's equally as bad, just about, who shouldn't be there. But all 16 teams get an invite to Hoover and get to enjoy the Birmingham life and the sights
mean
and smells
streets,
of the Met.
The mean streets of Hoover.
The mean streets of Hoover.
So the reason you need to go, Theo, yeah, the baseball's nice, but that's the best catered event for media that I've been at.
Really?
Yeah, even better than the Final Four. The food is just like as much food as you could want in the media area. Like you're probably going to gain like 10 pounds.
Buffet
ice cream. But yeah, exactly. Cookies. You got the fountain drinks of all you could want. I mean, it's silly. It's enough to make you care about baseball. We'll say.
Joe, were you at the Bama Texas A&M game in
2023? No. Football?
Yeah, for football.
Oh, then yes. Then yes.
That's the best catered event I've been to. That was some great food at that thing.
Okay. Well, were you at with me in the? In the press box?
Yeah, I was up in the press box.
So what do they serve? What do they serve? Because golly, that probably passed me by.
There was
because you're talking 2023. That's Jalen's first start.
We got that was on the road.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't there. No. Then
we got brisket up in that press box. Nothing's gonna beat Texas barbecue while watching an Alabama football
That's
game.
True.
That will probably always be the best catered event, but I'm intrigued now by Hoover, trust me.
Well, it's like the fact that it's 3 or 4 days and it's every single, you're here for the first game. How about breakfast? How about lunch for the second? Oh, you're still here for it. How about dinner? Oh, and I hear dessert snacks in between popcorn. Like, it's just, you'll be fat if you go to the Met.
We'll have to make a conscious effort.
Sounds like it's wall to wall gourmet and eatery.
Absolutely. So, and thank you, Greg Sankey. Absolutely. Thank you very much for doing that for us. I'm sure partly it's because, you know, SEC office in Birmingham. We want to take care of all the fat cats, the corporate fat cats. But yeah, nice to get some overflow from that.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Let's shift gears a little bit from baseball. Let's shift gears and jump into, well, let's jump into the transfer portal. I want to do two things. Theo, will you look up this tight end's name out of Troy, right? And as you look up this tight end's name out of Troy, who is visiting here over the weekend, I'm turning to you, Hunter. I'm asking, you got a good young memory. Somebody asked me over the weekend, Joe, is it like this last spring transfer portal where no one went in for a long, long time until the very – and I thought, no, we got kids in the portal last year.
Well, we did too.
We're sitting here. This portal is closing in 4 days.
And nobody's hit the portal at all. And I'm kind of surprised by it.
That's where I'm going right here. Is what has Coach DeBoer said to these young men? What has, Courtney Morgan? I mean, I don't care. Pick any authority figure you want. What have they told these players to say, I don't think you should go in the portal, young man?
I feel like he's selling a lot of BS. To a certain extent, he's got to, because there's no way that there's 75, 85 guys that are actually going to play meaningful snaps this year. It's definitely about, hey, wait your turn. Just wait till next year. It's a lot of trust the process. It's a lot of that stuff. I would assume, I mean, unless somebody just hadn't been tampered with, that is really good, which could have happened.
That's the shocking part.
How has no one hit the portal at all? It's just, it doesn't really make any sense, but I'm glad. I'm not complaining, but it's just like, hey, I mean, y'all are doing a hell of a job, whoever it is, keeping these guys in-house, so props to you. But I'm definitely surprised that no one's decided to jump ship and test the water somewhere else to see what the grass is like on the other side.
I was at the presser on Tuesday, so this day, or Monday, actually. So this is a week ago.
Yeah, you were sitting behind me.
Yeah, I was. This was day before. 2 days before the portal opens, and you hear DeBoer talk all this stuff about how, because he was asked directly, like, does he think any of the QBs will enter? He said he doesn't think so, but he recognizes it's always a possibility, basically along the lines of that. And then he talked about how the team as a whole, he believed that everyone felt good with their role and their spot on the team and everything, and it really is fascinating to me that this hasn't happened, because we had a very heated transfer portal talk last week, Joe, talking about, and this is in the wake of all Nico stuff going down. there have been a lot of bad transfer portal stories, examples of players kind of getting screwed over in the past couple years. Is it possible that we've finally reached a tipping point? Is it possible that the pendulum's starting to swing? Seems like an overreaction.
Probably not.
But there's a very strong possibility. It also might just be that with no spring games being played, other schools just don't know who
you
to
don't
look
have
to.
That. Yeah, you don't have that tampering idea like, hey, Lotsier Brooks. Because I feel like if we did have a spring game, you can see a lot of guys reaching out to a guy similar, I guess, Lotsier Brooks. For example, if he pops off and has 7 or 8 catches for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, you might see Steve Sarkisian, Ryan Day be like, hey, buddy, what kind of car you like? You like Lamborghinis? All right, you like $1 million? All right, come play for us.
Remember, we're only 2 months removed. We're only 3 months removed, rather, from Ole Miss going, oh, here, Jalen Mbakwe, here's $1 million.
Like, yeah, yeah.
That was all so recent, you know?
That's still fresh on the memory. What,
did I text you this on I was in my bag. Was this Saturday? I might have been texting Mason this. I don't remember who I was texting. But, Hunter, what are the chances? What are the chances that Caden Proctor and that Geno Vandermark, let's think who else. Let's think who else.
Dewberry?
Not Nakai Hill-Green. No, I got to think about somebody who's established. An established transfer or someone who's transferred and then come back in, like Caden Proctor. Who have you got? Okay, Damani Jackson. Okay, Damani can play this game. Who else can play? Can play this game? LT Overton. LT Overton. LT. Nope. Jeremy can too.
Jeremy.
You think guys who transferred last year, right?
Or
who've been on
that.
The team, who have some rapport. So I'm asking Hunter.
Austin.
Did
Mack.
Geno Vandermark? Did Austin doesn't know enough yet? Did Geno Vandermark? Did Caden Proctor? Did Jeremy Bernard? Did these jokers like Damani Jackson and LT Overton sit everybody down and says, let me tell you how life goes in the Big Ten. Let me tell you about a little story about Iowa. You guys think you want to go to the transfer portal, but Geno Vandermark says, let me tell you about Michigan State. It sounds all good, but the food there, the cafeteria is not quite. And Damani says, guys, I know Southern Cal. It looks so good in the pictures, the beaches, the women. It looks so perfect, but they don't care about football.
But I promise, dog, it's not
worth
it.
And he talks about the weight room is falling apart. And he's talking about, oh, nobody shows up to the games. These guys who have been in the portal, Jeremy Bernard, Jeremy was at Michigan State and at Washington before he's come here. He says, let me tell you about how life is at other big-time college football programs. I'm wondering if these transferees, these established players, Caden Proctor says, oh, I'm homesick. I want to go back to Iowa. He goes back to Iowa and never hears the words national championship uttered in the goals. And says, this ain't for me. Transfers right back to Tuscaloosa. He's on the phone with Wilk and Formby during spring break. God, please let me come back. Please. So they got Caden Proctor, this is just a hypothetical, but they must have had Caden Proctor in front of the team and said, Caden, why don't you spend 30 minutes talking about Iowa right before the transfer portal opens? Is there any truth? Can you go along with this?
I feel like there's some validity to that. I could see it being like, hey, guys, hey, if you transferred here 2 or 3 years ago, why don't you tell everybody what it's like at these other schools, A&M, Michigan State, Washington, and you're like, well, it sucks. I would rather stay here. I would rather have you guys stay here and just grind it out, see what happens. I promise it ain't worth it. I promise it's not even worth looking at any other schools. As the old saying goes, the grass is not greener on the other side. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm just asking.
I'd like to imagine DeBoer like walking his, like the scared straight videos, like yeah. Walking his players in and you don't know what it's like in the Big Ten.
You're not. Right. Caden says, you can see corn for miles. There's no championships.
Caitlin Clark's not there anymore.
Right, right. He talks about they're going to promise you money, but all the money, you never see a championship ring. And Damani's probably sitting there like, man, like Damani should be in the NFL. Why is Damani Jackson not in the NFL? Because USC wasted his first 2 years. Absolutely. Like,
well, the injury was a part of it, too.
He was not good at USC.
He was terrible at USC.
He would not tackle. He was lazy. I'm sorry, Damani. I like you. I think you're a great player. But at SC, it was lazy, bad technique, and not a good tackler. Comes to Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban gets him for like 3 months, 2 months before Saban retires. And then Womack says, well, you're still here anyways, and this is the standard. I just think the development, night and day. From USC to Alabama. And okay, that may not be worth a whole lot to you. Call Isaiah Bond. Huh. I'm sorry.
And Amari Nyblack.
Call him.
And Roydell Williams. All the Florida State kids.
Watch the draft next week, but boys. The draft comes up on Thursday. Watch the draft on Thursday, and where will Isaiah Bond be picked? Will he even be picked?
Exactly.
You've got off field issues. I'm sorry. Like, if I were to board, that would have been my strategy. It was Caden Proctor. You're on the leadership committee now. I need something from you.
Be a leader,
Gino. I don't know if he's on the leadership committee or not, but he's old as dirt on this team, and he's been everywhere. Gino,
same thing with you, LT.
Right, exactly. Yeah. LT, you were almost going to come to Tuscaloosa. You committed to Texas A&M. Lots of us think there was money involved. Then you transferred back. Tell these boys that the money is not it. Like,
Jeremy Bernard is definitely on
any. I'm flatly shocked. Every time Matt Zenitz or Pete Thamel or
Pete
Nacos. Right, Nacos from on three. Every time they're tweeting, I'm thinking, here comes the Alabama fella. Here comes the Alabama fella. And like,
out of all the guys you named, I'm surprised Austin Mack hadn't dipped yet, because I don't think that dude's ever going to play quarterback here at all. And it's kind of like guys like that know they're not going to play that are still here. And it's kind of like, what are you doing here, bro? Like, unless barring injury, you're not playing here. Like, it'll be Ty's show, and then Keelan's next up, and where do you fit into this mold? So I'm surprised that he's still here, but glad he's still here, because you never know what can happen.
I fully agree with that.
And the job's not done yet either for starting quarterback. I feel like there's still a long ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, they made it very clear that a lot can change over the summer. You know, I mean, even though Ty would be starting right now.
It just doesn't make sense why. And it can be a joke. Come on. It just doesn't make sense why you haven't had anybody go to the portal yet. You've seen the numbers. Oh, 1,000 players in the portal. 1,000 players and not like 3,000 from Alabama. What is really. And I'm sorry. This takes me back to the end of the year results of 9-4, Kellen DeBoer. You don't get it. You're not the guy. Like, okay, whatever. You can cry about 9-4, but. You're also not dealing with the hooey that every other program is dealing with this week. What's that worth to you?
Well, here's
that's worth a lot to me. That's worth a lot to me.
I think a really big part of it is I'm going to go out on a limb and make what I think is almost certainly a true assumption that there have been players in the portal that we probably could have brought in that would have overall improved the team.
Sure.
100%, especially at tight end.
The
fact
that we haven't brought anyone in, that also, you know, it's a two-way street here with sending the message that.
Right, the flirting's been minimal. The flirting's been very minimal. It's happened, but minimal so far. Keep going.
Other than that Troy guy, we hadn't really looked at anyone.
Yeah. Keep going.
So it gets to a point where not only do the players feel like they have they're on a special team, in a special place in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They also feel like they have a coaching staff who trusts them enough to not even have to go look at the portal, to have faith that they've already picked the right guys and to not allow that to influence their other decisions, even though there may potentially be other talented people out there.
Courtney Morgan, another raise.
But he'll be making 7 figures within the next 2 years.
I think he already is, buddy.
Yeah, is that like 875?
No, I think he already is.
Really?
The thing about it is there's really, other than tight end, that's the only position where we're weak as hell at is tight end, and that's it. So other than that, like, why do you need to venture out and look at other guys like a cornerback? You're already strong there.
Loaded.
Defensive line, quarterback's fine, receiver's fine, offensive line. I feel like you're good there.
That's
so other than tight end, what do you need to look at?
Right. What you need for the offense is this inline tight end that you're about to pull up, Theo, from Troy. But you also need this veteran, you know, a veteran third, you know, somebody that you can rely on the offensive line. But that's going to be really, I think, difficult to sell to somebody. Hey, you want to be our fifth? You want to be our sixth offensive lineman? You want to come in?
OL six,
right? You're whoever you are, Billy X transfer, who probably has some value and probably wants to maximize your last year of college. You want to come be our sixth offense? No, that's going to be a tough sell. What'd you find? Tell me about this Troy tight end I've been seeing all over my social medias, Theo.
Yeah, so Brody Dalton. First of all, it is $875 a year for Courtney Morgan. He has turned down multiple seven-figure offers, though. I did just look that up.
Yeah, I think he's making $1 million.
No, like his new contract was for $875,000 that he signed.
You're not picking up what I'm putting down. Yes, that's what his new contract says.
Okay, that took...
Yeah,
I feel a little slow on that one. Yeah,
I think he's making. I think he's doing just fine.
I think he's doing just fine. All right. Yeah,
I think he might be on. I think he might be on a little bit of the Cedric financial package, the Cedric Burns financial package, where the head coach cuts a little bit of the zone check.
There we go. Okay. That's one I didn't even think of.
I know that several years ago. You probably don't even know who Cedric Burns is, Theo. Used to be the assistant to the head coach and still is a prominent figure somewhat.
Who was this?
Cedric.
Oh, yeah, Cedric.
Yeah.
King Cedric.
Yeah. And I know 16, 17, 18, he wanted to retire because he was about that age, and Coach Saban was working him like
a dog.
Yes.
Working him overtime.
Well, crazy. Because that's just what... And in order to... Oh, you're not retiring. What's the number? I think there's some of that going on with Courtney Morgan. And not that Courtney wants to retire. He's not at that age, no. But I think there's some of a, oh, what do I need to do to keep you going on? Because I think he's that dang important.
He is very, he does an incredible job with everything.
Now, maybe that's total, I will admit, that is an absolute speculation from Joe. The 875 number that you just read is the official number. So, yes, that is hooey in speculation from Joe, but it is my speculation.
Also, 875 in Alabama is worth a lot more than $1 million in USC or a lot of other schools that could offer.
Oh, 100%. Ask Nico about it.
I'll try.
He knows firsthand what it's like, believe me, going from $2 million to $800,000.
You're trying to tell me about this Troy tight end.
Yes. So,
what's this young man's name?
Brody Dalton.
Brody Dalton, that's right.
That just sounds like a blocking tight end.
Yeah.
Brody.
Robbie
Hoots to Brody Dalton is a one-to-one comparison. Hey, Brody, how many catches did you pass? You catch this year? Two. How many games did you play in? All 15. How many snaps did you?
15 yards.
How many snaps did you log? 98% of the snaps.
You guys are laughing, but the first two sentences.
Give it to me.
Started the final eight games of the season, caught 15 passes for 188 yards.
He'll never catch that here.
And three touchdowns.
Never have that production.
But we don't need it. It's fine.
We don't need it. We
got Ron Williams. Hey, Brody, we're good. We got Ron Williams, Brody, and Isaiah Wooden.
Brody, what I need you to do is seal this defensive end. That's what I need you to do. I need you to split out wide, and I need you to arc block a linebacker.
6'5", 250.
Get your ass on the line. All right, on clap. Ready?
Down blocking on three. Down block on three.
Welcome back, Robbie Utes.
Pin and pull. How's your H-back skills?
I need you to kick out and lead the way on the halfback toss on fourth and one.
That's exactly right.
Well, trust me, you cannot understate the value of guys like that
in
any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. I need somebody that's going to crunch that edge, just collapse it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to protect Ty's blind side other than the right tackle or left tackle. Left tackle, yeah, it would be left tackle.
You look at the tight ends on this roster. Other than Jay Lindsey, you don't have an inline blocker, do you? Marshall Pritchett is kind of a hybrid. Caleb Edwards is definitely not.
And he's not
enrolled. Quavis is a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, Quavis can do it a little. Quavis is closer to CJ Dupree than Rob Hoots.
We didn't really use him at all last year.
Danny Lewis Jr. Danny Lewis Jr. When is he ever going to do anything?
probably never. I'm surprised he hadn't hit the portal.
I am too.
I mean, we have like four or five tight ends. Nobody wants to be like, man, I kind of hate playing on the bench or just sitting on the bench. I kind of want to actually use my God-given ability to go play the game.
Well, if you do, then learn to block. There is a vacancy on the Crimson Tide team. You want to get on the you want to get on the field, learn to block. Danny Lewis, I know you got hurt a little bit during the spring. But all you need to be worrying about this summer is your blocking technique.
Learn the art of pancakes.
Hey, Robbie Utes had pancake a great blocking. Role on the team last year. Not a single fan, I don't think, had anything negative to say about him.
He
scored
great.
A touchdown. I mean, that's not a bad gig to have on Alabama football.
Utes.
And he might end up playing in the NFL. It's looking pretty likely right now.
Probably not, honestly.
He'll get picked up. He'll get picked up as a UDFA.
Yeah.
I think he's got a shot.
I do.
He won't get any playing time at all.
I do. I think he'll get some playing time.
Special teams?
Fullback.
Special teams, H-back, tight end. Yeah.
Really?
Versatile.
Probably not.
It was
what team?
Whatever.
What did he fit?
The Bears employ a man named Kari Blasingame. There is, literally, every team needs an H-back. Every team needs an H-back who can play tight end, who can play fullback, who can play on special teams.
Fair point.
Who can be the personal protector for the punter,
who can fill up the water bottle for Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Robbie will be great at that, doing the dirty work.
And because he embraces it, you listen to him talk.
Wouldn't you for $500K, whatever the NFL minimum is?
I'd fill up Patrick Mahomes' water bottle. For
yep, UDFA me.
$500,000.
UDFA me and run me over, please. It's fine.
Now he's talked about in interviews just how much he loves like the fullback position. I think it was Mike Tolbert that he said was his favorite all-time player. And he like tries to play the game like him. So
it needs to be like what's that dude's name that played for the Browns? I was really good at. Played at Arkansas.
Peyton Hillis.
That's what it needs to be like. Peyton Hillis.
So Robbie Utes Madden covers what I'm hearing here. We're going to get that one day.
Yeah, we will.
One day.
When he gets drafted by the Colts or the Ravens, he can be looking for Derrick Henry.
I'll take him on my Giants. Take anyone with a pulse on my Giants right now.
Jalen Milroe to the Giants.
Ooh, yeah. How do you feel about that?
If you're
a Giants guy. We haven't had one on. We've done a lot of Jalen Milroe draft talk.
If it happens in the second round, I'd be happy with it.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't see it working, if I'm going to be real. But if it fails, I mean, what else is new, right? That's the point where I'm at as a Giants fan. Give me Abdul Carter at pick 3, and if Jalen Milroe is sitting there at pick number 35, why not pull the trigger on a high upside QB?
His best case scenario for success is with the Lions by far, and it's not even close. Yeah.
No, he's
not even close.
He's not going to work in New York. I mean, I've seen this story time and time again. We don't have anything to give him a chance.
So why would you pull the trigger on it then?
Because what if? I mean, how potential. Often? There, how often?
You literally said it's not going to work, but what if?
My whole life has been stuff not working. This is nothing new. I know my team well enough, and. You know what?
Put him at running back slash like a Taysom Hill.
Bro? He can throw deep.
Gadget guy.
He can learn behind Russell Wilson, get inspirational speeches from Jameis, and then
Jameis and Russell there.
That ball to.
He's gonna get a lot of inspiration then.
He'll get.
He's gonna get closer to God with Russ and really Jameis too, and he's gonna learn how to give motivational speeches.
And then Tommy DeVito's there too.
Those two quarterbacks will make him. An even bigger monster behind the microphone.
Oh, yeah. Now
imagine if he gets with Jalen Hurts. He's going to be speaking in quotes by the second week of the season.
The best thing for Jalen Milroe's potential future podcasting career would be to get drafted by the Giants.
No. Focus on the controllables. Get 1-0 every day. Just trying to get 1% better every day.
Just trying to get better.
The horse is prepared for battle. I love Jameis.
I want to pray for him.
I want to. Yeah, I do too.
I love that man.
He would make.
What was he talking about? Deshaun Watson. He was like, I stand by him or something like that. He just goes on this tangent. I'm going to be there for him. That's what he said. I'm going to be there for him. You know, he's had a rough life, but I'm going to support him. It's like, all right.
He's a nut.
But yeah, Jameis to the Milroe to the Lions. That's what I was trying to say. That'd Miller be fun. To the Lions.
That would.
When you look at it, I mean, who else? Because two good running backs, really good offensive line, two good really receivers. You got a good defense.
And like,
and Jared Goff is so immobile. He's not getting any younger.
But they don't have the offensive genius anymore, Ben Johnson. So no more Ben Johnson.
I think they're fine.
The Lions are going to fall.
Dan Campbell. They're fine with Dan Campbell.
They're going to fall off hard.
That's another motivational guy, Dan Campbell.
Is that just the Bears fan in you talking, or do you really think that?
They are not going to fall apart. They're going to be just fine.
That's the Bears fan in you.
They have so much talent on that team. They're going to be just fine.
Where do they play? What city do they play in?
They play in Detroit.
Detroit. What is that?
Theo, you're not very old, but what's their legacy in your lifetime?
Mediocre to piss
poor. No. What's the Lions' legacy in your lifetime? With Detroit.
Yeah, the Lions have not been the picture of success in my time as an NFL fan.
So no, this has nothing to do with me being a Bears fan. This is history. This is the cycles of the Lions. We get good, we look good, everybody, we get cutesy, and it all falls apart.
But we haven't seen them be this good in our lifetimes. The last time they made a championship game had been 1992, I think. Like, we haven't seen them this good, which is why...
They were close. They were decent with Calvin Johnson and Stafford. They were okay.
Stafford was solid with them, but nothing to write home about.
Yeah, they got to the playoffs.
They won one playoff game.
Right, which is like a dang Super Bowl for a Lions fan.
Now, I got pissed off watching Jaden Daniels and Washington just run all over them in the divisional. That one really annoyed me. Because then I had to sit down and watch Philly and Washington play.
I'm telling you,
NFC Championship.
That's what happens
when Jared Goff's their quarterback.
Fate. That's their fate. The Lions will never win a Super Bowl. That's their fate.
I think they've hit their ceiling with Jared Goff too. I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl with him.
So if you're trying, if you're pulling for Jalen Milroe's success, don't send him to Detroit.
Where are you sending him then?
Why not?
Where are you? Where are you sending him?
If I am Jalen Hurts' agent and Jalen Milroe's agent, and I got to pick where I'm putting him. I am begging Pittsburgh to find a way to take him.
You were just talking about how he wouldn't succeed in Pittsburgh like 2 weeks ago, Jeff.
That's because I don't believe in Jalen Milroe. But as far as the NFL fit, the NFL team that I would want my client on, I don't want him in New York. Absolutely. Zero chance I want him in New York.
But do you want him Aaron Rodgers? He goes there.
Rodgers is not going there.
He needs to retire.
Rodgers is going to retire, or he's going to take the year off. He's going to drag this thing out and be a diva, and it's not. They're going to have to go in a different direction.
Which is kind of sad, to be honest with you.
If I'm Jalen Milroe's agent and client, it's Pittsburgh. It is the Rams. It's St. Louis. It is
Detroit.
Who do they hire as their offensive coordinator to replace Ben Johnson? You can Google it. It's fine. I don't know. I don't know. That's my point. Point is,
I don't
you
think it'll
lost,
matter. I don't
you,
think it matters.
You lost the architect of the offense.
But when you have that much talent around you, it's hard not to have success.
Right, but you have to have a system for Jalen to walk into and learn and fit it. And so, who's the new guy in Detroit? Who you got?
It's John Morton.
John Morton.
He was the passing. It was the pass game coordinator for the Broncos last year.
So not bad. He worked with Bo Nix.
Bo Nix had a very good rookie.
He had a good year. They made the playoffs.
Worked with the rookie QB.
What bad?
Wait. Think. Think for a second, please.
Why
was Bo Nix successful last year?
Sean Payton.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We're down the path. What is Sean Payton's offense? Payton's offense, quick, out. Ball is out. Read. Michael Thomas, slant king. Michael Thomas, slant god. Oh, they're just spamming this one. It is Bo Nix. I am getting the ball out of my hands as fast as possible. Are you really asking Jalen Milroe to do the same? How many on-rhythm quick throws did he ever have?
Not a lot, but... You still got a lot of playmakers that are surrounding you. Yeah, you don't have to be the best player on the team. That's the thing. You didn't have to be Superman on that team.
And he wouldn't.
He can just be a part of the system.
Right. But you guys are asking him to go to the Lions and play in a system. We're translating the Denver system into Detroit right now.
I don't think
Why not? Because that is what the offensive coordinator did last year.
I think the Lions offense is engineered differently than what Denver
under Bill Ben Johnson. Everything just changed.
I don't
know. The entire system just walked out the door and went to Chicago.
We're speculating again here because I don't know how much the offense was Sean Payton versus this Morton guy, and it's hard to say. All I'm going to say is one big thing you're missing. Huge. The AFC is so much harder than the NFC to win.
That's true. You don't have to face Mahomes.
If I'm a young QB, I'm praying that I go to the NFC. Now, I agree. The Rams would be a solid destination. You're right on LA. Going to the AFC as a rookie QB.
It's a nightmare.
And look at who you have to face. Basically, I mean, that the talent divide is absurd, first of all. It's mind-boggling how much better the QB is there.
But you want Milroe to go to a place that has a foundation that's not
What about Detroit doesn't say foundation?
Why did you ignore the entire, like, the whole coaching staff left. It is just Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn left. Defensive coordinator left. Offensive coordinator left. All those assistant coaches all hired out at other places. Not all, but like a lot of them. The entire structure in Detroit just got hollowed out.
So, but that happens everywhere, too.
It does.
It happens all over the place. We see it. We saw it in Kansas City.
Doesn't matter.
They were fine.
So why did I pick Pittsburgh and the Rams? Because Mike Tomlin has been there for
years
and has his system. And of course, if we get a new offensive coordinator, they're going to have a little language. But it's still the Mike Tomlin structure. You go out to L.A., it's the Sean McVay structure.
And is it not the same with Dan Campbell? Did he not build this team from a franchise that
has been
historically awful?
Dan Campbell is a tight end. Yeah. Dan Campbell is a special teams coordinator. Dan Campbell is a motivational coach. There is no X's and O's offensively that he's playing in part of. So you're asking Dan Campbell to now put his fingerprints on an offense that he had no fingerprints on.
I don't think he had no fingerprints on that.
I think you're putting too much stock in the coordinator, not the Jimmys and the Joes, like the extreme talent that he's going to be playing with.
Yeah, that too. Look at how many incredible players are on that line.
And again, are they going to win a Super Bowl with Goff? I don't think so. I don't think they'll ever win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff at quarterback. 30 years
old,
immobile, can't move. Milroe, very mobile, can move around a lot. An added element to the offense.
No, I tell you. Jalen Milroe and Jameis Winston.
Jameer Gibbs.
Williams.
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
All my J names all together.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta.
Oh, just think about that deep ball. Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams on that deep ball. Oh, I mean, that's
fun to think about.
What's the structure?
Good defense.
What's the offense? What are you asking Jalen to do? That's my big question.
A distributor. Just distribute the ball.
Oh. Okay, he couldn't do it here.
He also didn't have the best talent around him that he'll have at the Lions. Is Amon-Ra a top five receiver? Yes or no?
I think he's got
close.
Is Gibbs and Montgomery a top running back duo in the league?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the Lions offensive line top 10? Yes.
Yeah.
Is their defense top 10? Yes.
Hawkinson's
Laporta. Laporta, is he a top five tight end?
Probably.
Fringe top five tight end in the league.
Top seven minimum.
Sure. I'm game with this.
That is such
but
a loaded
what are
offense.
You asking Jalen to do?
He can't be Superman, I'll tell you that right now. He cannot be the best player on the team. It's got to be similar to how Jalen Hurts was with the Eagles when you just get him started. Just get the ball out quick. Distribute the ball. Don't turn it over. Don't do anything dumb. Give the ball to Saquon. Look what happened.
I feel like I'm talking to two people who have never seen Jalen Milroe play before.
No, we've watched Milroe play.
He was good in 23.
He ever get the ball out on rhythm quickly?
23, for the most part. Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm
not going to go hard on every point. Look. Continue. I'm just like, it doesn't fit.
Okay. I same argument I had last time. Agree that odds are Jalen Milroe probably will not turn in to a high-level starting NFL QB. If I had to bet money on one of the two, I'd bet against it. In the NFL, you play the percentages game, and you also play the upside game. There's a decent enough percent chance that Jalen Milroe turns into a high upside NFL quarterback that a team in a position to compete for a Super Bowl that maybe could use a boost at QB should be intrigued by him.
Hunter, is Jalen Milroe going to turn me into Bill Polian?
He might. I give him 4 or 5 years, Max.
You remember Bill Polian? Lamar Jackson is not an NFL quarterback. Lamar Jackson needs to change to a wide receiver. And now Bill Polian is like a meme. Like, well, if Bill Polian said this, then of course it's the opposite. You talk about upside and percentages. Like, I'm just not. I'm sorry.
That's how it works, though, when teams analyze.
If I'm the Giants, I'm taking my boy. I'm taking your boy Abdul Carter at 3 or whatever. Right. And then at 34, when it comes around, I am taking the best player available that is not named Jalen Milroe.
I'm not touching Jalen Milroe with a 10-foot pole.
I want best player available or high-level QB.
If I'm Brian Daboll, gosh, there's no way I'm doing that to myself.
Hey, what about, I know this is crazy, but what if he goes back with Tommy Rees in Cleveland? Or is that a death sentence for most quarterbacks
for
that go there? Oh, for Jalen, for Milroe, Is Cleveland a death sentence for Milroe?
Cleveland's a death sentence for any quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. They've never had a good quarterback that they drafted.
Baker
was all right. Odell's
dad ran Baker out of town.
Odell and Landry.
Uh-huh.
Both of them did. But that's what I'm saying. There's never been a quarterback drafted by Cleveland that's done anything or won anything in that city. Yeah. Not off the top of my head, at least, in my lifetime.
No, yeah, I think you're correct on that.
There's never been a quarterback do anything in Cleveland.
Who is
worth a damn?
You got to go back to the 90s.
Tim Couch.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that, Tim Couch.
All right. We're coming up on an hour, and I don't know if we're going to get to an agreement point with Jalen Milroe.
I don't
think
we
will. Which is A-okay.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. It's all good. We'll see what happens. We'll find out what happens. If I end up being Bill Polian, Jalen, please do it to me. Please. That means you've been a successful quarterback. Please do that to me. That'd be great. Let's finish with the game we played last week multiple times with Katie Window and Will Miller. Who do I want to start with? Let's start with Hunter. We'll start with Hunter, then Theo, you get to chime in. You all listened to the show multiple times last week, so you heard us play the game. Will Ty Simpson be Blake Barnett or Mac Jones?
I understand the assignment. I get the prompt. I mean, I obviously want him to be Mac Jones. I mean, crap. But I feel like there is a sliver of a chance that he could be Blake Barnett if things don't go his way. Because I heard y'all talking about, I didn't watch the A-Day game. Obviously, I wasn't there. But I heard y'all kind of talking about it. Yeah, baseball. Right. But I heard y'all touch on it a little bit, and I heard that Ty Simpson wasn't exactly trying to stretch the ball down the field and try to fit it into tight windows, just taking what the defense gives him, which is great. But I feel like there's going to be a time in the season, it might be first game of the year against Florida State, might be against Georgia, where he's going to have to win the game and make elite throws and elite plays to get Alabama the win on a tough environment and on the road. So I'm going to say he becomes Mac Jones, but I also have a theory that the middle ground, I get the prompt that there wasn't a freshman quarterback behind Jay Coker pushing him, even though Cooper Bateman did get a start against Ole Miss. But I feel like there's a middle ground here that we're all forgetting as far as production concerned, and that's Jake Coker. So if he can just be any semblance of Jake Coker or better, even if it is Mac Jones, I doubt he will be. But I'll take any of that type of production, whether it be from the middle ground of Coker or the utmost in Mac Jones.
Hunter, you took the words right out of my mouth with the Jake Coker. And first of all, Jake Coker is a pretty good middle ground.
National champion. Come on now. That's your middle ground.
I'd take that middle ground any day of the week.
But he did have a tank at running back, the best running back we've ever had in our school's history by far.
Oh, no doubt.
Derrick Henry.
Now, That's a debate for another day.
It is. Keep going.
I think that Mac Jones season, first of all, man, that was unreal. What he did that year. And
4,500 yards.
To expect anything like that out of Ty Simpson, I think, would be kind of crazy. Honestly. You can't come in thinking, oh, yeah, like this, he will be this good of a QB right off the bat. That's the exception, not the rule. And I think I would lean closer to the Barnett side of things.
I would too. But obviously, you're hoping that he is Mac Jones.
Now,
as a fan,
what's.
Now, Theo, before you dig yourself into too much of a hole. The idea is that not necessarily the production that Mac had. The concept is Mac played well enough to hold Bryce off. Blake Barnett did not play well enough to hold Jalen off. Blake was off the team in 2 weeks.
Dude was in the portal
before the portal even existed. Exactly. He was a groundbreaker, honestly, in that. So
pioneer, if you will.
That's extra context
him
for
and,
you.
Kelly Bryant. Right?
That's right. So keep going as you continue to dig your hole.
Okay, I just think that. All
dig,
right,
dig,
you know,
baby.
Right now,
dig, baby. Tell the people he's going to get benched.
I am digging. We're in
getting benched in Tallahassee.
We're in relatively good spirits right now as Alabama football fans. I think a lot of the pain from the season has kind of subsided.
I'm still depressed.
That depression that Hunter feels.
I'm still sad.
Would hit us like a tsunami if something goes wrong in Tallahassee.
Mm.
If we can't hang in Athens. You know, there's so many opportunities.
Or in Columbia.
Yeah. There are so many opportunities for things to go wrong. And when you have that insane of a high school recruit right behind you, the margin for error isn't just small. It is razor thin. I think that I really respect the fact that Ty Simpson has been sitting here learning. People have praised the development, the steps he's taken so much. At the end of the day, the talent of Keelon Russell, I think, will be too much to ignore. I do not see Ty Simpson holding the job for more than about 4 or 5 games.
So you're chalking up either Florida State or Georgia as a loss?
I think I am.
So start the season 3-1 after the first 4 games. Not a bad take. Not a bad take at all. I think it's just hard not to have success when you have the weapons that Ty does at his disposal. Because as opposed to what Blake Barnett have, he didn't have a Ryan Williams. He didn't have a Isaiah Horton or Jam Miller. I think Bo Scarborough was our running back, and he wasn't even an established guy yet. It was Damian Harris still getting the lion's share of the carries. Our Darius Stewart wasn't really anything special. Calvin Ridley was a freshman, right?
Yeah, right.
Or sophomore that year. Calvin was a sophomore, still not to his peak, but still pretty good. But we've also had better receivers than him before and after his time. And then offensive line was decent, but just didn't have a lot to work with, and I think Ty does have a lot to work with this offense, and now you got Ryan Grubb back. It's hard not to screw this up, if you know what I'm saying, but definitely possible. I'm not saying it's impossible.
I'm going to make a very rough and jagged comparison here that I think kind of works. Let's head down to Austin. Look at that Texas team last year, right?
Quinn Ewers.
It's not, I told you, it's a very, very, very jagged comparison.
I don't think it's that jagged. I don't think it's that bad.
Keep going. Quinn Ewers, a guy who's done, first of all, he's done a lot for that Texas program. He, you know, you saw him almost take us down in 22. You saw him take us down in 23. And then, you know, you see him leading a clear college football playoff team last year. The fact that there was so much pressure, so many people saying that Arch should have that job. Keelon Russell didn't redshirt for a year, true. His last name isn't Manning, also true. But if you don't think for one second our fan base isn't going to be there clamoring every time, you know, Ty makes a throw. Oh, it's a good throw, but Keelan Russell, arm strength, he'd make that so much more effortlessly.
The first time we've done this, we did this with Tua and Jalen Hurts.
I feel like deja vu. The first time that the Alabama offense punts,
it
won't matter if it was three negative rushing plays by Jam Miller. It doesn't matter. If the first time they punt, it'll be, well, Keelan Russell would have audibled out and would have thrown a 99-yard touchdown pass, but the 50 Canada. It's like, oh, people. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think that's going to be a tough element to deal with this year. It's just how people
breathing down his neck.
Right. What you got? Oh. Exactly.
Getting called out on Twitter there, Joe.
Yeah, that's my friend. Joe, it's really hard to leave the comfort of my couch to watch a nationally ranked UA basketball team with perfect weather. Also, Joe, trolling the fan base with pictures of empty arena. Trolling the fan base. Hey, I am not trolling the fan base with pictures of empty arenas 30 minutes before tip of a Wednesday night basketball game.
You've never done that ever in your life?
Well, I put the – it's not
trolling. You're just stating the facts.
Exactly.
To be honest with you.
If
you don't like it, show up earlier.
There's not an element of poking fun. There's an element of I might care about this more than Alabama baseball. And so I do want you to show up. It's my gum gland poking out. Like, where are you folks? And I want you to show – I can't cheer over in my section. I need y'all to show up.
I need everybody to cheer for this.
That's what it is. Oh, great comment. You can always comment at JoeGaither6 on the social media machines. You can call on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. And that's where we will leave you on the show today, because I think we have a nice voicemail from our friend Dax.
It's Dax. Happy Easter. May the Lord bless the Alabama football team on this upcoming football season. That's literally it. I hope y'all had a wonderful weekend. He is risen. We love Jesus. Roll Tide.
He is risen indeed. Thank you very much, Dax. And thank you all for watching us on the program today. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Subscribe, rate, review the show on your favorite podcast platform. You can troll me like my friend. Just send us a comment at JoeGaither6. We love that so much. We appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program. They've been a proud sponsor of the program for the last few months. They have been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership, and they're the go-to place for all your automotive needs. For tires, brakes, and alignment work, you can see them on 15th Street. And for all your other automotive needs, front-end work, electrical issues, AC issues, oil changes, you can see them on University Boulevard. Call them on University Boulevard at 205-758-2739, or you can call them to set up your appointment on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. We appreciate everybody for watching us today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Oh, well, thank you for Hunter Brantley and for Theo Fernandez. Follow Hunter Brantley at HunterBrantley8 and Theo Fernandez at @Theo_. And we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.